WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, and indeed ahoy hoy. Welcome. It's episode 431 of BRB UK. I am Dan. I'm one of your hosts. Hello to you all. I hope you are well, and I hope you're not going outside, but I do hope you're washing your hands like the filthy animals that you are. Talking of filthy animals, Coleman.
Hi!
How are you doing?
Lovely. Just had the intense fun of trying to set up for this show.
It's always refreshing when Tim always relishes it. Say hello, Tim, by the way.
Hello, Tim, by the way.
Very good. You love it when the technical mess up isn't on your end, don't you, Tim? There's a certain bit of, I can see, you love the schadenfreude that's involved in it.
Yes.
I think this is the first time I've had like a serious problem since my switching from the laptop to an actual desktop. So,
yep.
Good.
Well,
that's like a year.
You know.
Yeah, usually it's just a funny problem, not a serious one.
What kind of other funny problem?
Like his headphones are slipping off his head.
Yeah, lols. Oh, mad lads.
I was trying not to make a ball joke this week, and I very much did already. That's failed. And
fair,
I drew attention to it too, so double fail.
The impression I get, Coleman, is I think you're well past the point of being bothered by ball jokes.
Yeah.
Yes, but I realised just because Coleman is resistant to them and fairly thick-skinned, especially on the top of his head, but doesn't necessarily mean that our listeners are necessarily the same, and I wouldn't want to be taking the mickey out of any of our listeners that are also follically challenged.
Okay, all right. Let's be specific here. Coleman, you specifically are a slaphead, all right?
Ow. I hit the headphone as well.
That's quite a satisfying sound, though.
It is if you get it right.
Oh!
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
Did that leave a handprint?
That's a concussion.
Have you had an accident in the workplace that was your fault? Did you slap yourself in the head? Well, you're an idiot.
Did you smash your brain hard enough to slap it against your skull? guys.
Coleman.
I need to talk a little bit about PlayStation 5 hunting.
How's that going? Are you hunting another one?
Not well. But
Amazon warehouses, spear in hand.
There were a couple of drops this week. There was Game, I'll get to those in a second. There was Amazon,
their website slightly broke as a result.
Amazon was fine.
When was it fixed?
There were Smiths.
When did Amazon's come out?
A couple of days ago. Smiths happened today. Very and Smiths also had Xbox Series S's. That was, you know, all that worked out really well. The Game Collection had stuff. Game, to be fair, they tried some anti-scalping measurements.
Right.
Were they too good? And did they stop anybody buying one?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That's exactly what happened.
That's a problem. On the bright side, no scalpers got them.
Was it that thing where you have to identify how many things are traffic lights?
No, it wasn't that.
That can be tricky.
Basically, anyone that waited in a queue patiently to get their console, what actually happened is they would finally get to the front, they put the thing in their basket, and then they go to checkout, and when it says payment, it would say, this item's now been removed from your basket because of too many items being added to your basket at once, assuming that it's a scalper going in and buying ridiculous amounts of consoles.
Right.
Because of this, those people were then kicked to the back of the queue, or the website would crash and kick them back to the back of the queue. Then they would wait. And some people waited in the queue for 5+ hours and still managed to get consoles, because all the people that got in the start were getting kicked to the back of the queue and then having to wait again. So those ones that were waiting patiently finally got through and got their consoles, and the ones that got there first got nada.
So
that was kind of what happened with them. I'm trying to get mine through either Very or Curry's, so I'm not too bothered. But observing this stuff has been amazing.
I mean, I've just kind of got to the point now where I'm just going to wait. Yeah. I'm just going to wait.
No, it makes sense.
And I do wonder, with the sheer throughput of consoles, they're absolutely having to ram through the factory, how that might impact QC, what other issues there might be, because they're really kind of pushed for capacity in terms of just trying to get things out the door as quickly as possible. I personally have a little problem now, I think, in just waiting.
Yeah.
Is what I'm going to do. I really am. And to be honest, there's no real compelling game out there yet for me to go, hey, look, I really specifically want a PS5 or an Xbox Series X.
Yeah, I mean, but they're coming, though. I mean, I felt the same as you, and then when...
And then you played Astro's Playroom.
Well, no, but the main thing for me was I really wanted to get one for my girlfriend, so I knew I was getting two, one for me, one for her. I knew hers would be first. Really wanted to get one for Christmas, couldn't get it for her birthday, got it slightly after, finally. And I've played a little bit on hers and gone, okay, now I want mine. And that's right. That's kind of what's driving me now, because
to whet your appetite. You know,
well, I've started playing The Division 2 again, and on the PlayStation, even on the PlayStation Pro, it does not perform well. And they've recently updated for PS5, so I want to play on the PS5. There's the Avengers update that is coming to PS5 this month, I think. And
bless your little cotton socks.
Really looking forward to that. I've got loads of games that have moved over. I still haven't played Bugsnax. I really want to play Bugsnax.
You were so looking forward to that as well, Cole, man.
Yeah, there's loads of stuff that I want to play that's on PS5 at the moment, or coming to PS5 very shortly, and I just can't do it because of this. But yeah, anyway, that's my PlayStation 5 Hunter update.
Wow.
Yeah. People can buy Switches again. The neon ones. They're back.
Oh, there are they? Go. Cool.
Yeah,
well, that's good.
I got my eyes on all the stocks, man.
I'm not buying another Switch or like console or general big purchase for the Switch until someone tells me that they have fixed Joy-Con drift.
Well, to be fair, that's not just a problem affecting the Switch.
Yeah, apparently there's a lot of PS5 controllers that's a big problem with, and they have a limited lifespan. I'm yet to see that in action, but that will be quite disappointing if that turns out to be the case.
Apparently it's for 100 plus hours.
Yeah, or about the number I saw was 400, where if you the numbers sound really impressive, like, you know, 5 million movements on the stick or something like that, but if you actually multiply that out by how many times you move that stick or click that stick in a particular session, you can then work out, roughly speaking, how long you would expect the controller to last. Spoiler alert, not very long.
But less if you're a waggler.
I beg your pardon?
If you waggle profusely, then, you know,
if you've got it, your sticks are
going to drift.
Mate, I've seen the state of your hands after trying to play a fighting game, trying to play Street Fighter on the PlayStation. I don't trust you to use one of them dual sensors.
You know what?
Like
I just think we've gone
person.
A bit soft. I remember back in the good old days, Tim, and you'll back me up on this.
Yeah.
You'll back me up on this, where it wasn't you breaking the controllers broke you. Anyone who's had Nintendo thumb will sympathize with me. Trying to do Street Fighter 2 moves on a Nintendo or on a Super NES control pad was painful.
Forget the button inputs. I remember swinging around an Amiga joystick like a mace and twatting my brother around the head with it.
That's another way
of damaging everything in your house and your siblings.
May I got a clip for that one.
But yeah, I, as Coleman alluded to, I actually had a bigger problem with that in the PlayStation era, in the PS3 and PS4 possibly era, because I would wear a hole through my thumb if I was, especially because I tend to default to the D-pad rather than the thumbsticks. But then, yeah, especially if I'm spamming a character that has a double fireball as their special.
Well, you need to get good then, mate.
And fireballs and dragon punch
Scrub.
Move type things.
Get good, you noob.
Yeah, I will literally wear a hole in my thumb, which I was quite pleased. That game I played last week, I did not do that. And even though I haven't gone back and actually played the touch controls, I imagine that would do that even less as well. So
cool story, bro.
The reason I'm not buying a new Switch right now, because I want to get one for the missus once again, but it's more a case of now there's the rumblings of the Switch Pro, and I just feel... At this point, maybe just wait for the upgrade.
Yeah.
I was, the minute I saw that red Switch, I went, yes, I am getting one of those. And then when I went to go one, I was like, nope, I'm not getting one, because they're nowhere. You can't get them.
Well, this Christmas makes the most sense for them to bring a new console relaunch, even if it's not a complete...
For some reason, though, Nintendo love releasing crap in March for some
reason.
Yeah,
but they will, like, whether they build, do it later in the year, I imagine it will be later in the year this year because it will be difficult to do earlier in the year, but they will do so that they have, they're hitting their stride in time for Christmas, I think, basically. But as I said, I don't think this will be a new console relaunch. I think it will be a kind of a slight reboot of what they've got, like maybe a... There's a lot of rumors of a larger OLED screen coming and Samsung being
Samsung
the
OLED
of that
screen. Checkerboard 4K, like yeah, all that stuff. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. Yeah,
and
being a good thing.
30 seconds of battery life in handheld mode.
Waiting for their normal release dates of like early in the year for next year. I could see that going well if you avoid like wait for hopefully all this Corona stuff to kind of die down, businesses to go back to normal, people to actually have some disposable income in their pockets, and then suddenly, new toy! It kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But I also think that with Sony and Microsoft hopefully hitting their sort of sales stride in time for this year and having a few big game releases, that aside, they're not having a console launch this year. But if you move into next year, they might start having like new models come out. I think PSVR will come out next year, as I said previously. So I think it'll be a good year to get in and get that new model of a Switch coming out, basically.
Well, to all intents and purposes, though, in terms of volume, they've been able to shift. I mean, they're really, because of the supply constraints, probably more so, it sounds like, with Xbox than with PlayStation, which is probably why Microsoft more so than Sony have really pivoted into the PC gaming space. Essentially, they haven't got as massive a lead on Nintendo as they have last time, just because there's no components to go around.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be quite interesting. It's not going to be like your usual, oh, Sony and Microsoft got a massive head start,
yeah,
therefore they have won all of the things. It's going to be a lot more nuanced than that, I think.
Anyway, this was meant to be a quick intro where I quickly tell you about my hunting of the PlayStation. Sorry, this went in, kind of went off the rails a bit.
No, that's all right. Good
should we
discussion.
Talk about a game that we've all been playing?
Let's do that.
In fact, there's two games we have both
all played. One of them together, which is very rare these days.
Let's talk about our Sea of Thieves experience just quickly.
Adventures.
I think we can get that done.
Tim is rubbish as a pirate. Tim is a crap pirate.
I never played before. Like, if I'm a crap pirate, it's because you're crap at teaching pirates how to pirate.
Not really.
You were Captain Average. And I must say, as a captain, you were below average.
I was not
below
average.
I had no idea what was going on most of the time.
Uh-huh.
Don't know what that big red floating skull in the sky was.
I
don't
know. It's so long since I played the blooming thing, mate.
I mean, I think if I look at our total game time, that mine's only probably about an hour more than yours, Tim, and that's because I decided to play some before we started actually playing together, because I need to get my head around it.
Well, they've updated quite a bit, which is why I was not sure what the big flaming skull in the sky was. But the reason why we were all dipping our collective oars in the water, see what I did there, was that there is, as you mentioned last week, there's some kind of new DLC that just some sales for your ship. But that money, if you buy it through to Microsoft, so 100% of the proceeds go to Great Ormond Street.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
we were just going in to check it out. Man! Loads of some sweet sails.
Yeah.
They glow in the dark and all of the things.
Yeah, they look really nice. Whoever did that design, kudos to the designer in Sea of Thieves, because, yeah, you did a really good job there. Really nice. Sails of Hope, really good. Yeah, I don't know if you saw the news, but the last sales figure I saw, there'd been 15,500 sales sold in Sea of Thieves. So thank you very much for anyone that has picked up.
Awesome.
Set of the Sea of Thieves. As Dan said, 100% of the proceeds go... if you buy through the Microsoft store, and I believe 80% if you go through Steam, basically.
Yeah, that's correct.
So, really good. And we had a good time. No, like, I was really glad to actually get a chance to play games with you guys, but also a good chance to actually play Sea of Thieves as well. I've been meaning to do it for ages.
It's a great game. It is a great game. Mm. And a beautiful looking game as well. I don't think it gets as much attention as it does the way that it looks. It's just a phenomenal game. You do need to play with mates. Playing by yourself, as with all things, not so much fun.
Well, since we played, I have played every day.
Have you? Awesome.
Yes.
I would have had I had time.
Mate, I've gone all in. I've gone season one. I'm currently doing the Golden Shores Tall Tale. I love this game now.
it is a really, really, really good game. It is a great game.
Yeah.
But the kind of the worrying thing for me at the moment is because I just got back into Division 2 And then I just got back, and then there was a thing for to Avengers that they put up on YouTube, and I went, ah, Avengers. And then I got really back into Avengers. So then I stopped playing Division, and now we did the Sea of Thieves thing, and I've stopped playing everything to play Sea of Thieves, and then we swapped all that for Outriders. So
yeah. How games many games service, as a service can you service,
I don't
service,
have enough
Coleman?
Time for them. I don't have enough time for games of service. It's, sad.
Well, this is why my gaming history is gone. 2014, lots of games. Destiny came out.
Destiny.
I think on something that drip feeds you content like software as a service does, it's really difficult to not have that kind of fear of missing out, the FOMO, I believe the kids call it, really gets you with those kind of things. Oh, I could just do that little bit more, and I know it's a time-limited season, and before you know it, that's the only game you're playing.
Yeah, I think it's 6 weeks left of Season 1, so I'm okay. I've already got to level 30. I got myself a Banjo and Kazooie wheel.
Capstan.
Couldn't think
no,
of
no,
word.
Not a capstan, a wheel. A capstan is the thing on the... Yeah. On the anchor. I don't know why I'm waving my finger in midair, but I am.
It's cool because like the bigger you build renown in the game, then the more golden stuff you earn, the higher your level build and all that kind of stuff. But if you get the season pass, then what they do is so each level that you earn within the season pass, you get gold, doubloons, all that kind of stuff. But also, I think it's every 5 levels or so, they'll give you an item that is an external purchasable item, so one that you can't earn within game, which is quite a nice little reward for that.
Lovely.
Yeah, I really like it. And I am mostly playing on my own. I said to you guys,
try
when
playing
we were
with
playing,
randoms.
Well, just when I started playing, I was bringing in some loot, and some random guy just turned up and started bringing the loot off my ship and helping me, just dropping it in front of the,
you see,
the merchant for me to sell it.
That is not how you pirate.
Oh, thank you. That was really nice. And then when you guys left and I carried on playing, there was a guy who, first of all, burnt my ship down and lost me a bunch of loot. And then I carried on and he was still in the game.
And he burnt the ship down again.
No, he followed me somewhere else and he was going, join alliance. And I wasn't on the microphone and I couldn't work out how to get the text up. So I didn't know what was going on. And I was just kind of throwing emotes at him, going like, go away. And then he kept telling me how to do an alliance. And in the end, I just sailed away from him, like, leave me alone. And then he popped up again while I was at my, at the outpost handing in loot, different loot, not stuff that's not at the bottom of the ocean this time. and then he appeared again and he was going, oh, you need to trade this in here and this in here. I was like, and I was saying, just leave me alone. I'm playing the damn game. And then he started talking about alliances again. I went, right, no, I'm logging off and coming back on and going somewhere else. And then this time I started playing on my own and I was doing the Golden Shores, trial, Tall Tale. And while I was on an island doing a puzzle, and got this idol, you get this idol and then all these super buff skeletons come after you and you've got to run away and get on your boat and get off the island.
I have a question.
You get overpowered. Yep.
How's a skeleton
How can
buff?
A skeleton be buff?
Buff as in like buffed, as in overpowered.
Polished.
Buff as in,
oh, okay.
Brr.
Oh, nice.
They got
shiny skeletons.
They're covered in coral, so it takes more hits for them to get taken down. Anyway, there's a bunch of them chasing me, and then I come to my ship, and I can hear two French guys chatting away on voice chat. And then I look over, and they're sailing off with my ship. So I got killed by a bunch of
skeletons
on
your ship.
I didn't know this until later. After I got killed by skeletons, then it told me I can scuttle my ship. Aww. So it's been a learning experience. I tried playing with an open crew. That was a dumb mistake.
Yeah, don't do that. How long before you ended up in the brig?
Well, I didn't end up in the brig. First of
Tim
all,
ended up
yeah,
in the
thanks,
brig.
Guys.
Oh, that was fun. first of all, the first guy went. He was like a legendary pirate, and he started putting these ridiculous missions that I had no chance on because all the skeletons and bad guys and stuff were like way too overpowered for me. So I just sort of had to hang back and chip away and
too buff for you.
Yeah, too buff for me. And it was on all the volcano islands.
Oiled themselves up again.
Yeah. And we got like a little bit into it. Then all of a sudden he just quit out and left me on an island on my own. I was like, I don't know what to do. And then some other higher level characters just turned up and nicked all my loot and burnt my ship and stuff. And then whenever it matched me with someone else, they would see that I wasn't a legendary pirate like them. And then they would just firebomb the ship and then leave.
Nice.
So That was my experience of open, so I've stayed closed now.
Yeah, don't do that.
Pirates life for you, Coleman? Or...
No.
Yes,
yeah. I've come across Krakens many a times. I've come across a Megalodon once.
Did we see a Megalodon? Was that a Megalodon that we saw?
It wasn't a Megalodon, because it was purple. Megalodon. It was like a big shark.
Yeah, it's a Megalodon.
No, because I saw the Megalodon and went, oh, that's not what we saw. I thought that was a Megalodon. When I saw a Megalodon and it was bigger than the ship that I was in, I was like, okay, that's a Megalodon.
Now that's a Megalodon.
Call that a Megalodon.
It was like a big grey, blue, like yellow fins and stuff on it. That was the Megalodon.
But the Kraken's good fun as well. That's good fun, boss.
Yeah. Originally it was just sail through, keep repairing the ship, stay below deck, stay away from it. I've got no chance. And then one time I decided, you know what? I'm just going to stand my ground and take the bugger on. And he ended up picking me up.
Yep. Yeah,
and then, like, dunking me under the water and picking me up again and eating me. And eventually he let me go and I got back on the ship. And I think I was down to like my last plank and I'd gone through all my cannonballs. And then he went away.
Your last, like, most tactical banana.
I didn't defeat him, technically, but I played with him enough for him to get bored of me.
But, wow. And I think we'll all agree that's a true victory there.
It's a very good game.
Great fun. It is great fun. Tim is excellent at staring at things that need to be done, is what we learned. There's a hole in the boat. I'm going to stare at it.
Well, when you don't tell me what to do, I don't know what to do. That's like a fairly, you know...
Did you ask what to do?
When you told me what to do, I did it.
But did you ask what to do?
I was kind of helpful with the harpoon. After being distracted by wanting to harpoon big creatures at sea...
I'm not going to lie. The reason we left you on the harpoon is so you felt useful.
I quite enjoyed locking Tim in the brig and then waterboarding him.
The hell?
And then drinking grog and waterboarding vomiting
me
on him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Vomiting into a bucket and throwing that on you. That was fun.
Yeah, no. Just not good pirate friends, Coleman.
That is exactly what pirate friends do. You wonder why me and Dan
didn't play with you more this week.
Well, there was a point where you logged off, Dan, and me and Tim were on for a couple of minutes together, and then Tim logged off and it was just me on my own. But just before Tim logged off, some random player turned up. And I went, oh, look, random player. And then Tim logged off and I chucked a bucket of sick over the block. And then went, I better log off and log back in because I've made a nemesis.
But no, it is great fun. And, you know, Rare have been doing a great job continuing to support Sea of Thieves, a game that did have a bit of a rocky start. It seems to have been a bit of a swan song of many, or a calling card rather, of many a title that have released in the past kind of 3-4 years or so. That out the gate, not so good, but they turn into a bit of a labor of love. No Man's Sky, Destiny, Sea of Thieves. It's great. It's a great game.
Yeah, No Man's Sky obviously had the benefit of, a large install base at first. But then, like, Sea of Thieves, I think, benefited from being a games-as-a-service game that was on Games Pass.
Well, so it was the first Xbox game to launch with Game Pass.
Yeah. But I think it benefited a lot from that because it's just had a continuous feed of audience and new people coming to the console that would then jump in. And so, But
and
really enjoyed it.
We're partly responsible for that.
What, sorry?
We were partly responsible for it. On the day of the launch, we gave away like 10 codes for Game Pass going, go get Sea of Thieves!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's us. It's clearly our success. We're the reason why they succeeded, Coleman. Yep. Definitely.
On the launch day where loads of people had connection issues.
Big red barrel, please.
I had issues not being able to grab any weapons or items, but yeah, on the launch day. Us getting people in on ground zero. That's all us.
Or the ground floor rather than ground zero.
Yeah, sorry, ground floor.
Ground zero is a moderately apocalyptic construct, I would say.
Yeah, not really where you want to bring people to.
You're not doing many favors if you get them right into ground zero at just the wrong time.
But
what
I'm trying to wrap up to.
I always thought I had too many limbs.
That's right. Let's just keep on taking the mic. I said a wrong thing.
That's
right.
What we do, Coleman.
Well, I
once
was
a week,
to
we get together
to
and take
a nice,
the piss
neat
out
little
of each other's audio hiccups.
Tim. Sorry, Coleman, you were trying to say something.
What I was trying to say to wrap this up was we should definitely play this again. And also, considering there's three of us and there's a fourth slot open, we should probably open it up and try wrap some random BRBs.
We need a fourth crew member, is
Let's
what you're saying.
Let's auction it for things.
So we should put something up on the BRB Discord and just go, hey, we're going to play this on this date, this time, jump in.
I swear somebody already asked us on Twitter, but okay. Let's ignore
well, no,
that.
Because we want people on Discord.
That's where the cool kids live.
Yeah.
So another game we all played.
But not together.
But not did. I certainly did play some Destiny. You'll be absolutely amazed to hear that. But on that kind of thing, Outriders, the demo launched on every platform that it's going to come out for. And we all played a little bit of it.
So I went PS4, Tim went PS5, I'm assuming, and
PC.
Dan went PC.
Ooh,
I also tried a bit of PC, but
versions.
I thought I'd switch to the PS4 to see how that ran.
Did it
not
run
good.
Okay on PS4? Yeah, I was going to say.
Not great.
Maybe not.
Anyway, this is a new games of service-y type game in the vein of it's got a bit of Division in it, it's got a bit of Destiny in it, it's people that can fly, which...
Turns out they can't.
They can.
Can't, no.
No, they can't.
They
with
did
assistance,
Gears
they can.
They did Bulletstorm. Gears of War Judgment,
Gears of War
I think.
Judgment, yeah.
Yeah. Another Polish studio. And
good pedigree.
This is...
One that I haven't heard horrible things about yet, at least, which is good.
Oh, there was... Don't even... That's all over the place in the news again. We're not going to get digressing on that other than why are people incapable of not being a dick to one another, right? That's all I'm going to say on it.
Squeenix publisher on this one, and it's I don't know about your guys' experience, but I went playing on PC, it had a nice frame rate and stuff, but something seemed off about it. When I went to the PS4, something seemed very off with it. It was very janky and shaky and stuff, and I found out later some of that is by design, not all of it.
Yeah,
can't be all of it.
My overriding impression of Outriders, I mean, I got very excited by the sounds of how heavily they were leaning into the RPG side of things, really kind of making it more about the abilities that your character has as opposed to the weapons that you pick up and use in the world. But to me, the whole experience, and it may change by launch, it just felt like it was trying a bit too hard. And to me, I don't know what it was about the script writing and the narrative, but it really annoyed me earlier on. It fell into the trope of confusing having a gritty adult storyline with dropping an F-bomb every other word.
I don't care for that particularly, but
and I thought the characters all felt a bit one-dimensional
a little bit generic, I would say, basically
very generic. But
I don't think a Destiny player such as yourself can necessarily lay that criticism at someone else's door wholeheartedly.
I mean, Tim, I'm not saying that Destiny's immune to that. I'm not at all.
But to me, this felt like a slight, and I say this in a slightly reductive manner, but a poor man's Destiny meets Borderlands.
I would say a poor man's Destiny meets Division and Borderlands' bastard
it's
child.
A bastard child of the three of them. But I heard a few other people complaining about the story, and they said almost exactly the same thing for you. They got put off really early on, and it never turned them on. I really like the setup of the story.
The setup's great.
The
Don't
setup's
get me
wrong. Great, and I wouldn't necessarily sit here and defend a lot of the actual kind of dialogue, but the actual narrative and the actual setup of the story I thought was really interesting and intriguing. I really liked where they were going with it enough that it's piqued my interest. I'm like, okay, I want to see what you do with that story and where you go with that, basically.
I don't know. I kind of like some of the premise, but I think one of my main issues with it is the whole thing visually, gameplay wise, and in the actual delivery of the narrative all feels very, very beige. It's a very beige game.
A lot of people said it reminded them of the whole kind of Gears of War era of gaming. Not necessarily Gears of War itself, but the whole thing that kind of it was came out of that was which are the brown cover shooter type era of video games type thing. And I can kind of get that criticism. I also thought it was really weird that in some of their marketing and some of the general stuff that when they talk to you about like how to get on with the game, they talk about like the need for aggression and that cover is for cowards. And then you get into a fight very early on where if you don't take cover for a portion of that fight, you are probably in trouble, at least with the build of character that I went with.
I mean, to kind of before we go into the combat side of things.
But yes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just trying so hard, and I wanted to like it more than I did.
Okay.
And there's some really potentially interesting mechanics in it. However, a lot of like the kind of the RPG perks, none of them are particularly inventive or interesting. It's like, oh, well, you just get a bit more explosive damage, or this happens. I don't know. A bit of me expected more, and I think perhaps I was coming into it with unrealistic expectations. Mm. I very much expected like kind of a quasi open world shooter. I'm not saying Destiny is fully open world, okay, but there are public areas in which you can roam and randomly come across other players.
Yeah.
Whereas actually the best way I think to describe what's been shown so far in Outriders is essentially a series of dungeons that are connected by
with a connected
walkways.
Hub type thing. Yeah.
And I don't know, I didn't feel like I was part of a world that was that where events were kicking off in it. Yeah,
yes,
I don't know.
I think the actual, like, the hub world and the feel of that was a bit weird. Like, I think the room that you walked into that had all, like, the you can go and chat to this bloke and kick off your mission, or you can go to this tower thing and that kicks off a possible, like, multiplayer matchmaking type thing. That room and that setup for that just felt wrong. It felt like you were walking into, like, the garage out the back of the base, not, like, the main thing where you should be connecting to all your missions, and it didn't feel like a proper kind of mission hub type thing, though. Like, I felt that was a bit empty. But we didn't really talk about the overall story. We kind of danced over it a bit, but the overall setup is basically Earth was coming to the end of its lifespan, basically. Like,
we screwed it up, mate.
We kind of screwed everything up, and they created two massive ships for an exodus from Earth. That were supposed to be going and finding new homes. You find out fairly early on that one of those ships crashed and burned almost as it was taking off, and the other ship had to be like heavily defended from an onslaught of people that were trying to fight their way onto the ship and stuff. And like, yeah, but it sounds like there was some nasty things that happened in defending that ship type thing. But then you get to this other planet where you're supposed to be setting things up, and an Outrider is a person that goes out from the camp and explores the rest of the area.
He rides out, is what you're saying, Tim.
Yeah, whereas other people are setting up the camp, an Outrider actually explores new areas that they haven't kind of conquered on that planet yet, basically.
I have a question.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. What is an Inrider?
They're someone that just stays around the camp.
Right.
And passes out donuts.
Exploring.
Yeah.
Nice. Lovely. Good
but work. There's the porta toilet.
But yeah, but then in the setup of the story as well, again, fairly early on in the story, so I don't think I'm spoiling too much, but you basically go into cryo sleep after a little incident and then wake up some years in the future. And it's
30 years in the future.
Yeah, a number of years in the future. And yeah, basically everything's gone to shit in that time. That, yeah, everything's gone badly. You haven't been able to find a way out of the little valley that everyone's now trapped in, and everyone's warring over the resources that you're kind of scraping and fighting over to kind of state your claim, basically.
But wait, oh my god, holy GCSE narrative writing. Oh, the irony of us moving to another planet and also messing it up just like we did Earth. Who'd have thought that would happen?
But I kind of, I don't know, like, it's not a wholly original story, but I kind of like the setup. I kind of like the fact that you don't know why you're trapped in that valley. You don't know what's going on with the rest of the planet. There's kind of a big mystery that they're setting up there that hopefully has more payoff than the big mystery in Destiny. And, you know, like, that side of the things I was quite happy
with.
To
be fair, the big mystery in Destiny is still ongoing. They haven't got around to finishing that off, mate, to be fair.
The big mystery in Destiny is there a story in Destiny?
Yes, there is a bloody story in Destiny. It took a while.
It's called Destiny 2.
Now. I don't know. The narrative may get better in the full game, and yeah. I realise this is only one very small slice of it, but...
Very generous demo, though.
Yeah,
what's a very generous demo. And, you know, props to them for essentially it is the beginning act of the game.
And you can transfer your character into the game.
Which is great.
Which
you can only do on the same platform family, the way. You can't start on PS4, PS5 and move it to PC, for example.
But you could start on PS4 and go to PS5, for instance.
That's my understanding. Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay. Things I'd like about it. I like the setting. I like the idea of it. I like that you can create a bald character because that seems to be something missing from a lot of video games these days. Anyway, I like the size of the demo. It is enough for you to kind of get an informed decision and go, yes, I will buy this game. No, I won't buy this game. A lot more so than a lot of, you know, going to event demo games we've played in the past that have been very short and then picked up the full game gone, oh, okay, that was it.
Yeah.
So I like that, even though the game's kind of bed with warts and all. The things I don't like about it is playing it on the, I don't know how the other ones performed in particular, because I didn't stick with the PC one very long, but the PlayStation 4 version, frame rate is not brilliant. Audio glitches are plenty, visual glitches. There's this weird thing that
glitches,
there's this thing that I thought was a problem with their render, but whenever there's a cutscene, it shakes like crazy, and it turns out that's by design. Yeah, that's
apparently.
By design to be like a kind of found footage type. Yeah, the idea of a found footage film where they're constantly shaky cam to make it seem realistic. Yeah.
I don't like that in movies. I certainly don't like it in games.
No,
so
it looks horrible. The capture for the video for this podcast.
Yeah, time to chunt
the
Coleman,
so.
You would estimate?
It wasn't that bad. But it's still very distracting, very ugly looking like that. And some of the voice acting's terrible.
Oh, the voice acting is awful in places.
Voice acting and dialogue I can understand people taking issue with. I don't understand the issue with the story because I thought it was quite an interesting, intriguing setup.
I don't mind the story. It's just, it's a bit of Rage, it's a bit of Destiny, it's a bit of Titan AE. It's a collection
of Avatar is the one I think.
Yeah.
It's sci-fi tropes we've seen, but the thing is, you know, there's only so many original ideas before things start aping on other things. It's just, unfortunately, a lot of this is stuff that's been used a lot before.
So I think the one thing, just before we kind of go on to the gunplay and the gameplay, it didn't look as visually arresting as I was hoping it would.
No, it's not a massively pretty game, but it's not ugly.
No, it's not ugly, but there's some weird stuff going on with the lighting sometimes, where it looked like my character had swallowed a light bulb and light was shining out of his face with the way his teeth are being lit. Very distracting.
On the PS4, and it's going to sound like an insult, but I don't mean it as harsh as it's going to sound. It looks like a PS3 game. It looks like a 360 game.
Okay.
And I don't mean that to be the horrible insult. It's just it looks like it needs another year.
Well, that's funny,
because
on the PS5, it kind of looks like a nice-looking PS4 game.
There you go,
And on PC, it looks like a great game, a well-done game from 4 or 5 years ago.
But it's like, it reminded me of, say, like early Mass Effect, you know, looking at that. You know, it looked amazing at the time, but then when you look at it now, you're like, I can see why they're going to up-res that.
And I don't know if you guys could find it, because I certainly couldn't. I just wish there was a way to turn the motion blur at least down, because it was just like ridiculous on PC.
I've heard
it's like just smearing everything everywhere, and you can't see anything in your peripheral vision when that's happening.
Well, that's something they might give you options for in the final game.
I know. If you're listening, Squeenix, or people can fly, A, A, you know, prove to me you can fly because I'm not convinced. B, give me a motion blur setting. Do those two things. Happy Dan.
But yeah, a lot of people seem to complain about the little cutscenes that you got. And I could see that they were a bit like the one where it
literally threw on the brakes for me to jump over something.
Jump over again. That's the one that everyone's heaping criticism on. And I can understand it, but also, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, okay, well, that's probably just so that they can load that part of the level. And the dev has come out and said, and I'm not sure I'm fully understanding the technical side of it behind that, but the dev has said that basically that is so that they didn't have to have dedicated servers, but they could still group everyone together that's in one area. So it looks odd when you're jumping across that gap on your own. If you jumped across that gap and then other players joined you, the idea of that cutscene is so that the other gamers know what's happening there. Like, they put that in deliberately, even though they don't necessarily need it, because on previous feedback that they had from game testers was that if they got pulled into that area with no explanation, they didn't know where they were and they didn't know what was going on. So they wanted to put a brief cutscene in there to kind of give people some grounding of someone jumped over here, so you've been pulled in kind of idea.
Right.
I'm not sure that necessarily practically works, but at least there's some thought behind it. And I think that is a reaction to feedback, which possibly proves you shouldn't always react to feedback.
I think I'm gonna see a thieves this one. I'm going to leave it a couple of years. I don't know. I'll leave it a year, and if people are ranting and raving about how amazing it is, I'll go in. But now I'm a bit worried about games of service type games, especially since Anthem Next got shut down. You know, it's
yeah.
So just to kind of finish off, I mean, we talked a lot about kind of like the setting of the story. I think interesting. The actual delivery of the story itself, voice acting, oh dear. And you know, some of the script writing could be a bit better. The gunplay, the gunplay and the gameplay, they're kind of integrated.
But it does feel like you've got gunplay with the powers, kind of, and they're the two things that kind of play off.
That's why I specifically kind of wanted to separate them, is because I think much more so than say, Anthem or Destiny or Borderlands, it's all about your crutch is meant to be the powers that your altered character has, rather than relying on the guns.
I'd argue that, but
That's one of their design intents that I've kind of heard, that it's meant to be not just about the guns. You know, your abilities are refreshing at a rate where you're expected to constantly use them.
You definitely need to be using them, but it's also good to have them in reserve if the... And I'm trying not to swear to cut Coleman's time out here, but when the crud hits the fan, it's kind of good to have all your powers on standby for some of the things, depending on how you set things up. Which characters did you actually play, by the way, as well? I think we both played a pyro guy.
I went Techromancer, I think.
Okay, is that the one with the ability to use, or the speciality in using long distance?
I hurt people, sniper rifles. I get health.
They're both long distance characters, though, aren't they? Ranged characters.
Yeah.
Everyone I've listened to in previews about this game is, I have played Techromancer, I have played Pyro, and I went, right, I'm picking one of the others. So I went Trickster, which is basically a warlock.
Yeah.
But
a close range warlock.
Now, I don't know about you guys. There was something about...
I think it's harder to play solo, but...
There was something about the gameplay that just didn't feel right.
What I felt with the game was the gunplay, it felt like it was trying to be Division.
Yes.
But it is nowhere near accurate enough to be Division. It was quite sloppy. Again, I don't know how they played on the other systems. This is on PS4. You shaking your head and biting your lip, Tim.
I just didn't have a problem. I thought it was quite good.
Okay, but with the powers, I found them really sloppy and inaccurate. I would do a... So with a Trickster, you do this move where you kind of like do a chop and a bolt of lightning comes, or like a beam of lightning comes out, and then all the people in front of you turn into skeletons and the like they're getting shocked and stuff. And it was hit and miss whether it would actually work. And the melee was you kind of run up and do a kind of double fist pound electrical attack. And again, it was weird whether it would actually hit people or not, or if it did. Yeah. Like sometimes the effect would happen, but it wouldn't really do anything.
Did you play until you unlocked your fourth power?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I found that the first power it gave me with the pyro guy, like it is basically a.
Was it just a box of matches?
Well, no, it literally just sets people on fire in a cone in front of you. But it doesn't do. There's no visual feedback on where that cone's actually aiming. And I found that a bit weird because I think you need to know that. And there were times where I was inaccurate with that because I didn't know where it was firing and I'd miss people and then have to wait for that call.
Exactly the same with the Techromance stuff, yeah. Which is more meant to be about range builds. I had very little say in where one of my attack, but kind of special attacks, one with a really long cooldown, and you know, it's like a mortar attack, which is great. But it's very difficult to judge which direction it's going to go in, and actually, are you going to get the enemies? And actually, what is the range of it that's going to happen? So there was no telegraphing of stuff like that.
Yeah, I felt that just needed, as you said, telegraphing. It needed some better UI visual feedback on what is happening with that power and where you're aiming it. I had a lot more fun when I swapped that power out and got my fourth power with that guy. It's just like kind of a long range setting someone off as a bomb. And then between that and the different skills. But then I had the most fun when I actually found two differing weapons that helped me bolster what I was doing. I found a special gun. It was like a light machine gun, I think it was. But it had a power on a cooldown that froze people in place. And that worked really well with the rest of my powers because I could freeze people and then kind of hit them. And I also had a shotgun that helped heal me as well, which was really good.
and there are, so it looks like there's some little weapons that can have some really interesting perks as well. So, you know, it may well get a lot more interesting down the line. But I mean, I found myself being kind of quite constantly frustrated. I felt very sluggish in my movement, whereas some of the enemies would be like they'd all of a sudden appear, they were all close range, they were all a bit tanky, and
I found they were very grenade happy as well.
Yeah, and there's very little you can do if you're getting rushed by a mob in this game. It's just like
no, that's what you need my shotgun for though, Dan. Literally
no,
everyone rushes me, I save my two powers that suck energy from people, just generally go bang bang with those things and then just shoot them with my shotgun while I get more health, and that's how I dealt with every like crowd that came in, and it felt really good every time. So but that's what I was saying, like it only got good for me when my powers worked well with the guns that I had. And yeah, like it felt like that might stop me from upgrading weapons as much as I could until I found something that did, you know, the function that of the gun that was helping me. But I got quite into the game to the point I'm like, ooh, okay, I could possibly invest some money and time in this in the future, basically. So
I think it's going to be one of those games where I'm going to watch and wait. I think initially I was quite excited about it, but I think I'm
going to sit back and see what happens.
Well,
that's a shame because I'd like to play with both of you two, but I might be the one that takes one for the team and sees
how. Well, Dan would be playing on PC. Does it have crossplay?
It does have crossplay.
Yes, it does have crossplay.
To its credit, it has crossplay. Hmm. So.
Oh, that's cool then. It's got some routes that I like, but I think I'm going to wait. I'm not going to pre-order it. Mm-hmm. Unless this game launches and everyone is going nuts about it, I don't think I'll be picking it up right away, maybe down the line if it lasts.
I might be when there's the traditional gaming drought in summer is when I might give it a look.
And of course, Tim says,
I'd buy that for $1.
Of course, this is one of the kind of vertical slice bits of a game and you're not sure how old that is, but it's coming out quite soon. No, I think it's this month.
It's not really a vertical slice, it's the beginning bit of the game.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I don't, but
it's a horizontal slice.
Yeah, my point there is that it's not the full game, it's still a bit that they've taken out of the game, and you don't know how much in the past they had to start building that demo from the game that they've got, and how different that is from the actual start of the game now. Like, don't know, no.
Who knows?
So, yeah.
Can you imagine if the full game is like an extra half an hour on top of the demo?
To be fair, with Destiny 1, yeah. when it went into beta, they showed you like nearly half of the game. And that yes. was like, whoa, okay, all right, that wasn't the best move.
I was just going to say, there was missions and side missions that you could replay, and they did say that you could get different loot as a result. I don't know if that was a good or a bad sign. Like, is that good that there's lots of content to replay?
It depends
or bad
how they mix
that
it
they're
up.
Designing the game that way.
It's
I don't know.
It's a game of service.
I honestly
do that.
Don't think we know enough about it to make a call on it at the moment. But what I do know, Tim, is that we are running quite short on time already.
Right. We do have some outrider opinions from the community, if you
cool.
want to hear them.
Let's
oh,
do that
I would
too.
Love
yep.
to hear those very
cool.
much.
So our friend Ed asks, will this be the new Anthem for the show or the new Destiny?
I think it's looking more likely to be Anthem than Destiny at the moment.
Tim?
I can't say that it will be as popular as Destiny from what I've seen, even though it's done more to get its hooks into me in story-wise, and I've played more of this than I have Anthem, even though I own Anthem. So somewhere in between, but possibly more towards the Anthem scale than the
what
Destiny scale.
What an excruciatingly long answer. Coleman?
I don't think it has the hype of either of those games. Met but upon then. Launch, it could go either way. I really don't know. We'll see down the line. It could launch as an Anthem and turn into a Destiny. Who knows? Our good friend Bleezy, he says, my first impressions were rough, audio glitched often, the game's tone seemed all over the place mechanically. The game was okay, apart from if you used your ability to cover, it took you out of cover, awkwardly standing Ooh. And getting shot. And one of my friends lost their loot as a mission started, as they were turning into a quest. Not saying it's terrible, but as a demo, it failed to get me interested in a game.
Do you think that's them being overly ambitious with the amount of demo they offered, possibly? Could they have polished it up more if they gave you less?
I'm not necessarily... Again, it's the opening act of the game. It's not like kind of they've selected a greatest hits here to try and showcase. It just felt all very, okay, so what to me? And I'm kind of whip-bleasy on this one, to be honest with you.
I'm really grateful for the amount they put in the demo just to showcase how much
Very
it was
brave
because
of them to do so, but
yeah, because you don't really get that these days. And also, you know, if this was EA, this would be a you have to pre-order the game to get the demo, you know, that type of thing. So I'm glad they just gave a free demo and it was a huge chunk of it to go, all right, you've really got to make an informed decision here whether you want to buy the game or not. And it might backfire on them in that case, but I like that. It was very retro of them. I was very happy with that. Sam Ronan, he says, it was okay, but I played it solo as the Devastator / Tank class, which I struggled with later on. I had no tech issues, but others I was talking to while they played it had issues with crashes and one with chronic easy anti-cheat errors.
Oh,
this
really?
Was all on
I didn't
PC.
Have that.
No.
Tyrus says, I'd like to add that I'm glad they have not made it a games of service. I think they have. It's a complete package from the start. I'm sure they'll keep it live and add stuff to it. Does he mean in microtransactions?
I haven't had much visibility on what their DLC plan is or if they're going to be bringing in
stuff
like raids
a
road and things like that.
Type thing or,
I'm sure there's one out there that I just haven't seen. And that's on me.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, but they get the impression, as he says, that it seems like there is a reasonable breadth of content there, no? From
we'll see.
The bits that I've seen. And hopefully.
And lastly, Ice Cubes. Cubes. He says, if they can fix the minor things, they're onto a winner. Otherwise, it'll be death by a thousand cuts. Also, I don't get why they push the third-person cover angle when you really shouldn't play that way, although I've only played as the up-and-close hero types.
Well, this is true. And some of the mechanics of the cover is a bit janky. Like, it's done really well in Division, done really well in it, obviously Gears of War, surprise, surprise, but it's far more difficult than it needs to be to kind of go round a corner whilst remaining in cover, for example.
I picked a close combat character and then used entirely sniper rifle all the way through.
Yeah, whatever, go. Doing it right, Coleman.
But then I think it was quite good in moving from cover to cover. I quite like the system they'd implemented from that you can... And it's not something we haven't entirely seen before, but the fact you can break away from it by moving the stick, but otherwise you look in a direction, press X, and you go to that cover. Like, that worked reasonably well, no?
What does also work reasonably well is the inexorable march of time, and it is continuing to march on, and I see a large amount of agenda still to go with very few minutes in which to do it. So, Coleman, The news.
So terms for this is we've got a PlayStation State of Play and a Pokemon Presents to talk about, but we haven't got the time to talk about it. So if I run through them and Tim just nods silently, I think we can get through this. So very quickly, PlayStation State of Play, if you didn't check it out, they basically went through a few titles. Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, is coming to PS5, PC, Xbox Series X, and Switch. There's a free upgrade for PS4 and Xbox One owners. And they were showing off all the cool new features, including stuff with the DualSense controller. That looked great. Kenna Bridge of Spirits looks really nice. Got a release date. That is coming August 24th to PS5, PS4, and PC. Returnal, that's got a... I believe that's been pushed back slightly, but it's got an April 30th release date exclusively for PS5.
I'm still not sure
Something about that name bothers me.
Returnal, it does sound... It sounds very Revengeance, you know?
It does.
Transferring.
Sounds like a very...
Oh, do you know what it is? It's a play on words.
Early
90s. It's like a roguelike, and you keep waking up to the same thing. So you're returning.
It's eternally
and
returning.
It's eternal.
I see what you
like
did there, Dan.
Wow.
Oddworld Soulstorm looks really good. April 6th. PS5, PS4, and PC again. Knockout City, which I don't... but this had a better showing than it did on the Nintendo Switch thing they showed recently.
I understood the game and it looked actually vaguely interesting.
Dodgeball.
It's Fortnite Dodgeball. May the 21st, that is coming to PS5, PS4, PC, Xbox Series X, Series One, and Switch. Kind of the highlight of the night for me, Sifu.
Likewise, I was going to say
that. I'm really interested in this game. Really interested in this game.
This is from the guys who made Absolver, which me and Tim have
talked about
that
before,
initial campaign,
and
actually.
Really,
that was
liked
really good.
That game, it did a load of things really well.
I really need to go back and try
including
that game
combat.
Since they added loads of stuff to that game since we played through it initially.
Yeah, that'd be good.
No release date yet, but that's coming out this year at some point on PS5 and PS4. It looks like Absolver, single player, and it's kind of a roguelike, and every time you get defeated, you age slightly, but you become more powerful.
Two words, dynamic beard.
Yay! But that looks really intriguing. Love the art style. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward for that.
It reminded me
see
of the...
See my
the,
life up.
You know, there's a mode on Hades where it goes, look, you're dying a lot. Do you want to make it so you're a bit more powerful each time you die? It looked like that, the game. Solar Ash. That is coming out this year at some point on PS5, PS4, and PC. Still looks really nice. Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach, which kind of this series passes me by, but I have a vague interest in it. Initially, Nights at Freddy's is made by a single guy, and he has then sold the rights off, or he works with another studio now, and they have rebooted the game for PSVR. This is now a PS5, PS4, and PC game that has all new types of mechanics and things, and it actually looks really impressive compared to the original games. But at the same time, it's got a bit
that's
of jank to it that makes me go.
But yeah,
well, yeah, those games, they're made by one person. Yeah. So, you know, when you see and very quickly, big turnaround in them as well. And then when you see this compared to some of the original ones that weren't that long ago, you go, that does actually look really impressive. But at the same time, not that impressive. So,
yeah, no, I'm with you. It's a series that's kind of passed me by, to be honest. Yeah. So. But I do know it has got a dedicated following. Those who love it, love it. So
I think the following is dropping off now because they're growing up into adults and they're going, this is actually quite rubbish. Now that's an insult.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not even a backhanded compliment. That's a full slap to the face.
I wonder if they're ever going to make that movie.
Slap.
I watched that Nicolas Cage ripoff movie, Willy's Wonderland. It wasn't good. No. Deathloop, that
don't
is coming out on the 21st of May. Looking forward to that on PS5 and PC. And then the kind of big news they had was Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrade, which is a PS5 version of Final Fantasy VII
That's
Remake.
That's not a word.
Yeah.
If you
that word
already
hurt me.
If you already own the game on the PlayStation 4, then you'll be able to pick it up for free on the PlayStation 5.
Hey, Coleman! I just picked up something free on PlayStation Plus.
Let me finish before
but
you start jumping
can
in.
Can I get the free
you even
things?
Have notes to tell you when to jump in.
Oh, but I want the free things.
Okay. Anyway, free upgrade if you already own it on the PS4. If you want to play it, if you have the disc version, then you obviously need to use the disc version in your PS5 to kind of verify that purchase. Also, with the new game and all the new upgrades and stuff to the visuals and extra fog and all that kind of stuff that they showed off in the trailer, there is a new episode featuring Yuffie. Yeah, you can see what Yuffie was up to during the events of Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Not much.
Yeah. What you alluded to was there is a... Final Fantasy VII Remake has been announced as one of the titles in this month's PlayStation Plus collection. And so if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, you can download Final Fantasy VII Remake for free.
But...
In the price of the subscription. However, that means it is exempt from the PlayStation 5 upgrade.
Boom.
It doesn't mean you can still install the PS4 version on a PlayStation 5, and it works really well, and I recommend playing it through for free. And deciding from then on if you really want to pay £70 to get an extra character DLC thing. So,
no. Yeah.
So does good that game. Mean, though, that it was always going to be a remake of many parts, wasn't it? Final Fantasy VII
yes.
Remake. Does that intimate that you're not going to see it through on the PS4, that things are going to be finished on the PS5?
Most likely.
Well, that makes sense anyway, no?
Yeah. No, just saying. Also, integrate apparently is a word.
Is it?
And it means that you pass into another form by a series of intervening forms. So I still think they're using the word wrong. It's upgrade is the word they're looking for. Upgrade. Jesus
also, there's
Christ. Seriously.
Also, there's like a couple of mobile, like there's a Final Fantasy VII
yeah, remake they announced
mobile
a few things,
port
didn't they?
That
yeah.
ties in all the other Final Fantasy VII series, like Crisis Core and Dirge of Cerberus and stuff into one thing. So there's that to look forward to, I guess. And also a Final Fantasy VII Battle Royale for mobiles.
Because of course there is.
This is all for the Japanese market because their console sales go down and their mobile sales go up and it's a big thing, but hey. Also, there was kind of a separate PlayStation State of Play, sort of, where they announced a bunch of PSVR games. It was a blog post where they announced all the new PSVR games, but they did it like once every half an hour. So
yeah.
Doom 3 VR Edition, which that was the first VR game I played, March 29th. Song in the Smoke, that was announced.
What? That's a new game, yeah?
Doom 3 VR Edition. It was on the I played that on a
Doom?
Development
really?
Oculus. Yes.
Oh, okay. Because there's Doom VFR, which has already been released, yes?
Yeah. Doom 3 BFG Edition, I think.
Okay.
That was the one that you could play in VR on development Oculus.
Okay, okay.
And where Doom Guy is fueled by snotcumbers.
Yeah. Song of the Smoke, that is a new title. Hasn't been given a release date yet. Fract, which I really like
Fract
the look
looks
of.
Brilliant!
It looks like you're... is it the Roger Moore Bonds where he's using the ice skate, the skis and
for
shooting?
For Your Eyes
and,
Only, is it?
Yeah, possibly? It kind of looked like that, the
it
video game,
like
but
that.
Better.
And a bit, like it reminded me a bit of like 13 and stuff like that as well, and the kind of cell shading, flat shading kind of style. But yeah, skiing, shooting, and exploding big red barrels. I am in. All in.
Yeah. Really good.
Summer 2021, an excuse to play the place to dust off your PlayStation VR. Tim was very excited for I Expect You to Die 2, The Spy and the Liar,
yes.
which is coming out some point
this
year.
Have you
year.
Played the first one, Coleman?
No.
One of the best games on PSVR, pick it up. It is great.
I'll be the judge of that.
Comedy is good. Gameplay is good. Definitely worth playing.
Zenith. Mm-hmm. Zenith was announced. That is an MMO, VR MMO, which
yeah.
I like the idea of. I will have to look into that
not
further.
Not sure about that one myself.
And After the Fall as well, and those last two, they don't have release dates just yet.
After the Fall looked like Left 4 Dead in VR, basically.
Moving on, Pokemon Presents 2021. They only had three titles to talk about. They had a really nice intro where they went through the 25 years of Pokemon, literally everything to do with Pokemon, from trading card games to the walking thing to
Wowza.
Some wand you waved about. It was a very cool video.
It was
I recommend checking it out.
Quite nice. Even as a non-massive non-Pokemon fan, it was still interesting to see all the different things that had been on.
It's weird because
it's
like there's sort of, I think it's like year three of Pokemon where it actually came to the UK, and that's when I started playing. And then there's a big gap of about 20 years where I stopped, and then like the last 5 years where I tried again. But it's weird watching the evolution in that thing. And I got, you know, I started to feel it towards the end and went, man, this dumb little game I played, like this RPG light that I played on a Game Boy, it's amazing how it's gone from strength to strength in this
how
way.
How it has evolved, you might say, Coleman?
Oh, yes. Shut up.
Hey?
What's that?
Oh,
Pokemon is evolving.
Tim, shut up.
Anyway, we've got another gameplay trailer for new Pokemon Snap. That is coming out on April the 30th. Also, the really terribly kept secret Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl.
I have never heard of those. That was entirely new news.
Those were the DS games, which I remember I got given an early copy of Pearl, like a development copy that I should not have had. But I got given one to try and give some feedback on. Sorry, I didn't sign an NDA. I'm fine. And I remember playing it and went,
you probably should have done.
But apparently it was really, really good, and I just didn't like it. This does not look as good as the Let's Go Pikachu Eevee remakes of Red and Red, Blue and Yellow they did a couple of years ago.
Why does it not look as good, Mr. Coleman?
It just doesn't look as good. It looks like they've gone... It looks like a fan remake.
Yeah? Like, let's just crap this one out quickly. Because we need more Pokemon.
They've kept all the aesthetic of the kind of top-down Game Boy Shibby-looking character and all that kind of stuff and made it into a free... It's kind of like how they did with the Zelda Link's Awakening, whereas with the Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, they kind of took the mechanics of Go and the original game and then made them look like a next-generation game, and it looked amazing. And yeah, it doesn't look that
as good. With all these 25th anniversaries coming on top of each other quite quickly. They need to actually,
The last one was a very early look, so it does look a bit ropey, but it's more the kind of potential this could be. Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Pokemon Legends Arceus Double Cheek Edition.
So this was just a reveal trailer. It's coming out some point next year. This is the first proper like open world RPG Pokemon game. It looks like they went Breath of the Wild.
Yes.
Pokemon.
Yes, yeah. Stick those hands together, my friend. People made that comparison as well, no?
Yeah. Trailer wasn't that amazing, but it's that thing that people have been screaming for a decade, at least, that they want an open world, proper RPG Pokemon game.
Be careful what you wish for.
Multiplayer as well. Yeah, well, I'm excited for what this could turn into, even though it's based all around the kind of region of Diamond and Pearl, so I'm way out of my element with this game.
I have a question, Mr. Coleman.
Yep.
Can you cook and dig eat it. Pokemon like you could in previous Pokemon?
Yeah, of course you could.
Yeah, of course.
Do you reckon they're going to do that in a pot a la Breath of the Wild? Can mix things up.
No, it's going to be very in-depth visuals of you eviscerating a Pikachu.
Ripping Pikachu apart.
And, you know, pulling its liver out and, you know...
Cracking its rib cage open.
Absolutely. Get to the tasty, tasty innards.
It's the hunting. Ah.
Well, it's going to be the hunting mechanics of Red Dead Redemption 2. Like slicing and skinning.
Smearing the Pikachu blood on your head.
Yeah, absolutely. It's what it's going to be.
If you find a Pikachu, Tim hasn't played Red Dead 2, so this is lost on him. If you find a rabbit in Red Dead Redemption 2, you literally just grab the head and go, and just pull the skin off and go, ta-da! It's going to be exactly like that.
It's going to be brutal, kids.
Also, right. I'll point out, no, you don't eat Pokemon in Pokemon, as far as I'm aware.
You do! In the last Pokemon I played, you could go to a restaurant and have Pokemon served to you on a plate. Pokemon.
Did you just go to a restaurant, Tim?
Wow. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That must be one of the ones I didn't play.
Yeah, it's pretty dark.
And then lastly, very quickly, Japan Studios, they're technically no more. This is all being enveloped into the other brands of PlayStation Studios. So it's going to be divvied up against other subsidiaries of PlayStation. But
yes, it sounded like some people were losing their jobs with this as well, though, no, from what I heard.
By the looks of it. It looks like it's one of those things where PlayStation are going to rehouse a bunch of people into different roles. But at the same time, you can't get everyone at this time. But Japan Studio, they have had some huge titles behind them, and more so... Not so much the games that they've been behind as like sole developers, but pretty much so many PlayStation exclusive games that they've collaborated with, you'll just see Japan Studios pop up, you know, even like Astrobot and stuff, you know. So it's a shame just that we're losing the name mainly, but a lot of that talent does stay within PlayStation elsewhere.
Sounds like from the statement they're focusing on Astro's Playroom, and that's no bad thing for anyone though.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'll take some more of that content, please.
And last of all, Epic Games has been purchased by... No, that's not right.
That's the wrong way around.
That would be a new story.
That would be
Fall
amazing.
Fall Guys would have made a lot of money.
Epic Games has purchased Mediatonic.
Yes.
Who are the... you know, we've had people from Mediatonic on the show.
Lovely people.
Very nice company we are friendly with. Good to see them having big success.
Yeah, like their first big kind of breakout game outside of, you know, doing
Monsters
development
for
studios.
Monsters Stole My Princess.
Oh, that was a great game. But, I did like that.
I mean, so they're mostly, before their kind of big title now, before that they were kind of known for helping other developers and other ideas and IPs and stuff. And then with the launch of Fall Guys, just completely taken off. So it makes... Yeah, with that type of game, it makes sense for Epic to pick them up, especially as they've got Fortnite and Rocket League behind them. They made note that, well, first of all, Epic Games made note that the company's not going to be changing, the gameplay is not going to be changing, they're just going to be funding it and making a better experience across all platforms. Whereas Mediatonics, they commented that their Fall Guys team has already grown from 35 to 150 people.
Wowzers.
And the gameplay isn't changing. They did put a big FAQ that answers a lot of questions if you want to go check that out. But they said the gameplay is not changing. It's just that the acquisition from Epic allows them to add more features to it. There is a section in the FAQ where they added free to play question mark. Not ready to say anything yet. I think you might be looking at free to play down the line.
Yeah, I think you almost certainly will be.
Especially through Epic Store now.
Gotta love those microtransactions.
Rocket League was like the biggest game to be launched on PlayStation Plus, and they ended up getting, Psyonix ended up getting picked up by Epic Games. And then that record got beaten by Mediatonic with Fall Guys. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense for Epic Games to do the same with them. Similar type, you know, everyone playing big multiplayers and stuff, randoms and all that. It works.
Mm.
Good for them.
Yes.
Totally good.
And yeah, as we said, friendly with some people there. We've even had people work for Big Red Barrel that used to work at Mediatonic at one time as well. But yeah, like, it, you know... kind of prefacing with a pinch of salt of like, we're going to say nice things about them because we get on with them and we like them, but we get on and we like them because they've made a succession of games that we've enjoyed and there's been, you know, feedback back and forth between us. But just as I said, really glad to see a good group of friendly people that really are passionate about what they're doing having some really good success and other good things happening on the back of that as well. So yeah, wish them all the success for the future. Well done, peoples.
And that's all the news for this week. Sorry it was so rushed, but we were very low on time. We do have one bit of feedback that I would like to read off.
Yeah, go for it.
But if you want to leave some comments or give feedback or game suggestions or talk about what we're talking about, most likely this week was what has been in the news and what we're, you know, what's been launched and all that kind of stuff, you can do so in the comments section of BigRedBarrel.com. Also on BigRedBarrel.com, there is a link to Discord, Facebook and Twitter at Big Red Barrel, and YouTube, Big Red Barrel TV. On the Discord, Papa B, he said, "Hi guys, I'm new to Discord and I wanted to give my appreciation to the team for all that you do. I've been listening to you ramble for upwards to 8 years. Joy. The reason I am only now speaking up is because today I have been offered a job within the games industry.
Hey, congrats, Papa B.
I feel somehow you guys have helped me make it into this role and I want to say thanks."
We probably held you back, Papa B. We probably made it take longer.
Our commission's very reasonable. We only take 10%. So just send 10% your paycheck to Big Red Barrel Towers, Big Red Barrel Street, Big Red Town. That'd be great.
No, that's a genuinely really nice thing to hear, and just thank you for taking the time to say thank you, because that's a nice one today. Thank you.
And good for you. Well done. Getting a job in the games industry in the environment that we're in at the moment, that is, you know, a stellar achievement you've got there. So well done. We're so proud of you.
Wasn't Japan Studio, was it? Because we might have just dropped a bombshell on him.
Did I?
I was going to say that we can't really take all the onus for this, because our friend Ed has already jumped in and said, as he's been on 4 episodes of the podcast, he's taking sole responsibility for getting him that job.
All right.
Fair enough.
Beat us to it.
It's probably more on Ed than it is us. Can I sneak in a bit of geek for Gosh, even though we did some stuff at the top of the show? Obviously, we talked about the Sails of Hope, which you can go and purchase now from the Pirate Emporium inside of Sea of Thieves. And we had a lot of fun. I mentioned that at the top of the show, so we won't go too much into that. But you can buy the sales and just buy the sales, and that money goes towards Geek Out for Gosh or goes towards Great Ormond Street Hospital in general. And you can also do your own streaming, and there's more details of that on Geek Out for Gosh's site. And if you want to, if you purchase the sales and do the streaming, then we'll try and do what we can to help promote that via Twitter and stuff as well. You can check out more details at Geek Out for Gosh on Twitter and I believe Facebook, but then there's also more details on their website. Just search Geek Out for Gosh on Gosh's website itself, and they've got loads of details of how you can do the fundraising and everything else you can do there. And just a big thank you and congratulations to all the people that have bought the sales. As we said, I think 15,500 sales sold so far. Hey. Thank you to you too for buying them as well. And a big thank you for anyone that's been doing streaming. I've seen quite a few people streaming this week, and that's beginning to raise a bit of money as well. So that's really nice to see as well. And thanks anyone that has taken the time to sort of have a look at Geek Out for Gosh. You can go and sponsor some people and go and check out that. I'm also retweeting anyone that I see that is doing any of that streaming at the moment, so please come and check that out and see if you can support someone there, even if you can't do it yourself.
I like that the Geek Out for Gosh account said like a thanks for support and stuff to my tweet, even though my picture that I sent them was literally me burning the sails.
Well, you know,
well, I'm maniacally laughing as well.
Yeah. Well done, that man. Right, well, I think that is very much a show. That was a show. Went on far too long.
Show and a half.
It is show and a half. And thank you for listening. And go to all the places on the internet, Coleman said. But do make sure to swing on by the Discord and say hello.
Hello.
Yeah,
that's your lot.
Hi.
So that's your lot. We're going to go now. All that really remains for us to do is to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've been Coleman.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you have.
And you, dear listeners, have been you. So well done.
Well done.
And so, yeah, we're back next week. Hopefully you'll listen to us then. So until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
The podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.